Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be with us. We're zipping through the month of May. My goodness, as we close in on what will eventually be getting into a summer mode here. I just want to remind God's people again, and it doesn't matter really who these people are. I mean, I'm not looking for preschools or anything like that, but if you've got somebody who's going to be graduating, we don't often get that information into the office, and sometimes it might even involve a relative that obviously we're not going to see down here, but we want to make sure that we recognize those people. It's important in your life. We want it to be important in ours as well. So get that information to the office so that we can include it both in the bulletin and also as a part of our prayers of thanks. Just a reminder of, here on Saturday afternoon, we don't have as much to do with the script program, but it's just as important that we somehow get engaged. We've got order blanks and in the back, and I'll be glad to take those. This is an order weekend, and we came to find out just how much the script program is benefiting our church. In the first year, I guess you can decide with how much that we made in the first year, whether it's a lot or a little, but every little bit for our ministries is going to help. And it's a program that the first few months of this year, after getting off to a really good start last year, it's been kind of floundering a little bit. It takes a lot of time for the volunteers, and we need to maintain a certain level so that it can be something that's worthwhile for us. If you don't know what I'm talking about regarding script program involving gift cards and so forth, come and see me after worship, because this is gift cards that we get for free. It doesn't cost us anything to use them beyond the cost of the gift card, but it benefits the ministries of a Faith Lutheran Church so much. So please help us with that. In our prayers for this afternoon, we want to remember Bob Wiest, who had surgery this past week, and also the family of Virginia Pullman, who was granted everlasting life. Her a funeral was this morning down at Meadowlawn. And so we begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
let us pray this prayer together. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. This afternoon's lesson is from Holy Scripture, appointed for the fifth Sunday of Easter. And during the season of Easter, in place of the Old Testament lesson, the first lesson will come from the book of Acts, today from chapter 11, beginning in the first verse, where St. Luke writes, "Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, 'You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them.' But Peter began and explained it to them in order. 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered a man's house, and he told us how he had seen the angels stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from the revelation of St. John from the 21st chapter. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his God, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow, because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that human being has been born into the world, so also you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. This is the gospel of our Lord. God's grace, mercy, and peace to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, a study was done at the University of Pittsburgh just about 3 years ago. The data was just released here within the last year. And it asked one of those questions we've probably heard before. If you could change something about your life, what would it be? And I guess at some point you start preparing yourself for what would be the typical responses. But it was utterly amazing what was and what was not, by and large, in that survey. Because they really gave no parameters. In fact, they made it clear. Now, when I'm saying, what would you change? I'm talking about anything, but we're only talking one thing. 31% of those people who had been polled actually picked something that had nothing to do with them. Something that they wanted changed in the world, and you know, some of that stuff, a world full of peace and things like that. There was enough of those kinds of things, but you know, and then everything from the people that talked about what they wanted to see changed in the climate, and the list goes on and on. But they didn't want to talk about anything that they wanted to change about them. 31%. Then, for those people who did want to talk about themselves, wow, the long list of responses would be too long to get into. But let's just say that most of the time when we think of something, and I mean we think, if there's something you could change about your life, ordinarily, what would you go to? And I think for most of us, the answer would have something to do with something we had done with our lives, or something we had done in our lives that we would like to have either done differently, or in many cases, not done at all. The number of respondents, of the people, now remember, this is at a university, the number of respondents that mentioned such things were too few to be statistically significant. Nobody wanted to go through things like that. What did come out, and I'm gonna have to keep this to the kinds of things that we can talk about, but there were people that wanted to change their appearance. There are people that wanted to just change something that was a part of their, you know, whether it was to make themselves where all of a sudden they're much, much smarter, where they're able to understand certain things, where they are taller. Some people wanted to be some things that they talked about, what we would call transgender type things. But if there was one thing that was even more irrelevant than changing something about your life that you had done, it was to change your attitude and access to the Lord God. Of the people that were polled, not one person out of over 1,100 people that were polled about this mentioned anything about their relationship with God or about what their Lord and Savior had done for them. I got news for them. I got news for you. Today is going to come when all of this that we think is so important is going to fall away into absolute irrelevancy. And only one thing is going to matter. And that is our relationship with our Lord and Savior. And the fact that that couldn't even get one response should worry us greatly. It should trouble us because apparently we are losing sight in this country of the things that are truly important. Now, you know, we can go through a bunch of things. I suppose if you were given those types of huge whole life questions, and if you were given an updated set, let's just say about every 15 years, the answers may change. I mean, the changing mind of man, as we get a little bit more perspective, a little bit more experience, did I just call us old, in life, means that we may change our mind in terms of the things that we think are the most important. One thing that never changes is the will of God. And what God wants on behalf of his people. It was so important. He was willing to pay the ultimate price of the death of his own son. To take human form and then to die in that human form simply so that things could be changed for us. As Christian people, most of us who have been Christian most of our lives, we really don't have much of a concept of the idea of the door to the kingdom of heaven being, shall we say, closed to certain people. And certainly there were people, even after the time of Jesus, as we heard today, that these people that caused no end of trouble, that was called the party of the circumcision, that kept trying to take God's people back into a time of spiritual slavery. And to forget just what it is, the doors that God had opened. And it took an episode like what happened to Peter before they finally understood. Then to God, then to the Gentiles also, has God granted repentance and salvation. Which kind of hints that there was a time that wasn't the case. I don't think most of us came from, I'll use the term, Jewish roots. Which means we came from Gentile roots. Which means that there was a time when the kingdom of God in one sense was closed. In another, that was never the case. And we get to see it again and again and again and again, how people who were people of genuine faith, latching onto the promise in a way that few people who were of the promise ever did, were commended by God. And from the very beginning, it always has been not about bloodlines, not about stature, not about human knowledge, not about what you think should have been changed about your life or about life around you. It was about faith. And you know what still is about faith today? Because faith helps us to understand certain things. Now, obviously, if you were to change anything about your life, then everything about society, everything about civilization, all of a sudden, it seems like everything about life ends up being slightly different had we made a different choice earlier in life. But we can't change any decision that we made. But God can. The changeless will of God means that he gets to look at things differently than we do. Oh, yes, a sin remains a sin. And the earthly penalties that we sometimes have to pay for the things that we've done in this world will not change. But God does not close the door to the kingdom of heaven because of it. He offered the solution of forgiveness. He understands, no, a lot about this world isn't going to change. Because, you know, 8% of the people did mention, if they could change something about life, what would they change? 8% said essentially the reality of death. In other words, there were some that struggled to say it directly because, believe it or not, there were at least some that identified that were not yet convinced that they couldn't do it on their own. We still have people believing, and maybe more now than we've had in times past, that maybe if they do enough of the right things, they won't have to experience death. Death will have to be about somebody else. But I'm going to find a way to defeat it. We can't. But even for those that recognized that they can't, that's what they wanted to change. There obviously went with well over 1,100 participants. There wasn't enough to follow up on each one. But I would have loved to have found that 8%. Roughly 90, 95 people, and sat them down and said, do you understand that that has already happened? The book of Revelation, the second to last chapter of the Bible, made it clear. There is going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and all the things that cause us sadness and sorrow, death and tragedy and darkness will be no more in eternal life. That a way has been found to defeat death. Every one of you that are gathered here tonight is gathered here with the knowledge and the declaration that I will give to you once again, that you will indeed defeat death. You are the people that are going to find that you will be able to triumph over the tragedy at the end of life. Now, there are some that just would not understand. Does that mean that we don't have to die? Well, probably not. I mean, there's going to be a generation that's going to be alive when our Lord and Savior returns. And there's nothing that says that we're not going to be that generation. Before I finish here, that time may indeed come. But even if it does not, we will go as conquerors over death. And there's some people that just They can't grasp that. Now, wait a minute. Either you lose to death or you don't. And these guys are saying you're going to die. How does that defeat death? It's the same people that just cannot grasp the concept of where God loves the sinner but hates the sin. They cannot get the two separated. But all of that is part of the changeless will of God, who has a new plan for each one of you. A plan that is going to change every part of your reality. All of the things that perhaps we would have wanted to have changed in life has already been changed. All of those things that we'd like to go back upon, because God had a path for you in life. It may not have been the path you would have preferred to have taken. It may not have ended up being the path that you had started down and assumed you were always going to take. But the path that you've been on has been God's path all along. And as you go down that path, the doors continue to open where he wants you to go. The doors continue to just slide open, almost like as you're walking up and the automatic doors come before you, as to the things that are going to be in front of you next. The triumphs and the tragedies that remain in your life, he knows about them already. And he is preparing you for them even now. Friends, in one sense, there are certain things we're never going to change. We are who we are. We have been created, even if we lost it, in the image of God. And we have been prepared for life everlasting. But the most important door of all, the thing that needs to be changed most of all, has been changed. We don't have to look at life different, except how God has led us through everything of life, how God brought us to this time and place. And so with life, if there is something that we would want to change, perhaps we could chalk it up, as we heard in that hymn about blessed be the tie that binds. As we bind ourselves to the people who indeed are part of our family, the special families that we have in life, the families of faith, the families that God has placed us into, of people that are closer to us than some of our own immediate families, but yes, also the blessing of our immediate families. If there are some things that we can change, it is to realize that God has more blessings for us than we could ever see. And if we need to start seeing those a little better, making use of them a little more, spending a little more time with them, well, so be it. Because no matter what it is we saw as important or unimportant, the changing mind of man always gives way to the changeless will of God. And the will of God is that we have been prepared for eternal life. We are victors over death. We will get to have changed in us the most important thing of all. We're going to be God's people for life everlasting. The people also who have received the blessing of forgiveness and salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is up on the screen or always on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings, you may be. Please note the special prayer response that is up on the screen. We lift up our hearts on behalf of the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord our God, you alone know the plans that you have for us and our world. But we rejoice and worship you in the knowledge that they are loving plans. Plans for our good. And in your goodness you spread your life, your love, your beauty and joy throughout your creation. In your grace, you bring to us the forgiveness that takes away the misery of our sinful lives, and you bless us with pardon and peace. May we always praise and glorify you for all of your great goodness. Lord, in your mercy, we give you our warmest thanks for the most precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent as the ultimate sacrifice of love from you to take care of the price of sin. Now we have life in all of its fullness. Now we possess things in this life and the one to come. For he came into the world in humility and meekness, took on himself our sins and weaknesses, and carried them to death on the cross. For this great salvation, for our release from the power of death, and for the sure hope of heaven, through his resurrection, we sing to the glory of your name, Lord, in your mercy. Bless your church here, throughout our country, and everywhere. As our church body prepares for a number of gatherings this summer, amongst the convention delegates and representatives in Tampa, amongst our youth gathering in Minneapolis, amongst various ethnic groups that are also going to be gathering in and amongst those settings, dear Lord, remind us always that you have made us into a loving fellowship of believers, a family of trust, a family of prayer, a people expressed in loving service to you and to the people that you have placed into our lives. May we always remember that what it is that you have given to us on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are part of that holy, precious church, whose doors have been opened to the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, bless all of our loved ones, make our homes places of peace. We remember especially the sick, the troubled, the bereaved. On behalf of the family of Virginia Pullman, on behalf of Robert Wiest, and on behalf of someone in our own lives that we lift up before you in a moment of silence. In Jesus' name, free them from the burden of their pain and sadness. And finally, O Lord, keep us standing strong and steady, always remembering that nothing done in your service is ever useless, for you have given us the victory. Through our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At the bottom of page 9 is our closing unison prayer. We pray that prayer together. O blessed Lord, in whom all the peoples of the world are united in Christ, and made one people by baptism and faith, widen the hearts of your people, that we welcome the stranger whom you have called by the voice of your word, and together rejoice in your mercy that knows no end.
through Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Friends, thanks for joining us. For those of you that since next weekend is Memorial Day weekend are going to be traveling, please be safe for every one of you. We will see you back here again soon. Friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.